The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of June, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And there is so much to talk about this morning. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720 for our Family Island listeners. I want to start with a Tribune story. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. BPL blames Nassau outages on demand, network faults. Bahamas Power and Light yesterday blamed multiple New Providence outages on equipment faults, underground and soaring electricity demand caused by an early summer heat wave, while maintaining that major network upgrades remain on schedule ahead of hurricane season. That's just the first paragraph of the article. And I want to say that whatever the new era in energy reform was, put it in a bag, tie it up, and throw it away. throw it away. This could not be the new era in energy reform. When I saw this headline this morning, I thought, is this a late 1990s story? This cannot make any sense, especially given the lack of clarity around the Bahama Grid Solutions composition, structure, and operation. The people at BPL could not be blaming demand. Like, oh, we didn't expect so many people would want to use their electricity at this time of the year. It couldn't be, what they call it, an early summer heat wave. It couldn't be that. Do you know how many millions of dollars this government has invested in their climate change portfolio? You don't remember they just had the climate environment meeting this week? I want to say, you know what we could give the Davis administration kudos for, despite the fact that they didn't actually tell us, which suggests that it's not an actual thing, like a policy. It's just something that happened to happen. Government, supranational, and NGO conference tourism. The place been lit up with meetings with important organizations. We have no idea what's happening in the country unless you're intimately tied to that event or you satisfied with a 60 seconds, if you're lucky, soundbite through the local media. But it couldn't be because it's hot. Because we've invested so many millions of dollars in developing an international conversation that acknowledges that not only that it's hot, but the Bahamas is one of the countries that's going to be detrimentally affected by the heat, and y'all did not expect heat? Like, you cannot give us this statement in the face of the killing of the Pike Waker. This, my friends, is what the young people call, and then the old people, because it's the really young people following the old people, a bag of foolishness. It makes no sense that this entity, with all the millions of dollars that it spends, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we spend compensating the staff, the management, the administration, that this is what they tell us? Boy, y'all people in the West, y'all feeling it, hey? Y'all feeling it hard. This is how we've been living in the East for years and years and years and years, decades. The lack of electricity, the lack of clarity, the lack of coherence, the lack of certainty, the lack of recourse. You ever try to get an electrician to document the impact of an electrical event emanating from BPL's service provision? You ever tried that? I'm still trying to figure out what is the progress that we chose. Because we have been moving backwards ever since they published that, what you always call them, that motto, what you call them, campaign slogan, that campaign slogan. Because all it could be is a campaign slogan. It can't be a policy promise. This is not progress, people. Now, that the issues are occurring is one thing. They should not be occurring. Don't tell me that the upgrades are on schedule, because if they're on schedule, fire the person who made the schedule. Here's a text. Naughty has been reporting quiet load shedding out west since March, I believe, when it was cool. I've been reporting frequent power dips in the east for some time. I told you all from the day first involvement was announced, I had zero confidence. One, they don't have the capital. I mean, Focal got capital. Don't be disparaging Focal. If anything Focal have is capital, they don't even need lowercase letters. Look at their response at the Abaco and Exuma oil spills. Certainly, Focal's technical capacity can never be questioned. But yeah, it's been quiet on the Western Front. Quiet load shedding is what it's been. Are you on the BPL WhatsApp channel? If you want to get a sense how things are going with BGS, Bahamas Grid Solutions, and BPL, you guys sign up. You guys sign up to that WhatsApp newsletter. I mean, sorry, WhatsApp channel. BPL's WhatsApp channel. Because they do a good job of responding, not to customers, but with information. Right? Like it's a broadcast vibe. And that seems decent. That seems decent. But I don't know. This is in progress. I don't know who chose it, but it's not progress. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. First time calling to your show, to any show actually. But I hear you talking about the quiet load shedding in the West. And I absolutely agree with you. I just asked them that the other day. It's like 2-3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Our power is going off. And I asked the lady, are you on load shedding? She said, no, ma'am. But I totally agree with you.
I mean, it.
I'm happy somebody is saying it, you know?
Yeah, I like you said, that was a text sort of reporting what another Guardian host has been saying.
My phone is breaking in and out. I guess they were load shedding on my phone.
You clearer now?
Yes, I'm clearer now.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. What concerns me most is the lack of clarity at a policy level as to what's happening. I don't think there was sufficient response to the big reveal that Island Grid Solutions apparently was never a part of the management structure of BPL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pike was always considered a subcontractor for mm-hmm. Bahama Grid Solutions, although Island Grid Company is a subsidiary of Pike. Apparently, that's an acceptable practice in this industry, but it cannot make sense to me.
Well, yeah, it's
ever.
Not acceptable to us.
How could the company that you said you were that was forming the management structure of the entity, how could their parent company be a subcontractor to the entity that you comprise the management of?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, and there's been no...
I'm happy you're touching on it today, you know, because I was wondering where I could go to voice my opinion on it, because... It's clearly load shedding.
Ma'am,
Mother's Day, we had no light.
Listen, the coldest day of the year, we had an island-wide power outage. The coldest day of the year. God forbid if it gets any hotter. But let me tell you where we could meet. We could meet at the corner of CI 1622 Street and Frank Watson Boulevard. That's where we could meet to talk about this. This is a long time story This is an old time story with a long time problem. This is an Alstom story. We on sequel number 4. Sequel, right? Because remember when we got these engines and then there was an international story about a company named Alstom, right? And I remember our local authorities being asked by the media whether a charge has been laid against any local individuals. And the response was, well, we ain't got no data. Ain't nobody say nothing about us. So we ain't got nothing. Right? And then eventually the former chair of the board responsible for BPL, the board associated with BEC at the time, took the hit. But was frail and couldn't go to jail, right?
Yep.
Rest in peace, sir. He's passed away now, I think.
Yeah. But, Ms. Green, keep up the good work. I listen to you every morning, and I'm just reaching my destination. But I had to chime in. I don't usually call talk shows, but I had to. I had my chest. So
thank you
for being the vehicle for me to do that.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for calling.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. I told y'all, ask every candidate coming in your face what they think about Alstom. Their response would give you a sense of how informed they are on this new era in energy reform. Because how are they, as cabinet ministers, going to engage a rigorous, critical assessment of policy if they don't understand the history that led us to this place? That's why y'all need to stop putting children That's why y'all need to stop putting children in the Senate and people who think it's okay to use a term like Uncle Wonka and their director of communications. In the office of the prime minister, y'all putting children in the Senate who have no idea what Alstom was about. They have no idea that we're still waiting for the report on the generator fire and who superseded the existing authority. They did it sort of legally, you know, the way they used to do things, so that they could turn on the generator and the thing could explode. I mean, it didn't explode, it catch on fire. What about the blocks of concrete falling out of the building that apparently was not fit for purpose, although y'all sat down and devised the whole plan about how y'all was going to put all the engines in there? Right? This requires a type of clarity that perhaps the political culture is not prepared for. My whole life, BPL has been a joke, a mess, a problem. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
A pleasant. Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, sir.
Boy, Ms. Green, thanks for the nice little laugh you had yesterday with the soil. But you know, the foreign Argentinian, he kept his word. Yesterday, he sent an Abaco driver and three trucks around there to remove everything.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he gave me $400 back.
So it was just a matter of miscommunication. Yeah.
Yeah, what happened was he instructed them to give me soil to plant my veggies. Apparently, the tractor driver, he just loaded the truck with anything he saw, a bunch of rocks and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, boulders.
Yeah.
So it was bad service on behalf of the Bahamian workers, but the Argentinian white guy, he gave me good service. He said, sorry, Mrs. Markey, for that. I will give you your money back. I said, it's not about the money. I want some soil.
Yeah, that's we so really want to work. We get right. Ready to work, yeah.
You're talking about customer service. I just came from Super Value Blue Road of my national insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am on this line almost a half an hour. This lady in front of me can't speak a word of English on the line, holding up the line. Everybody cussing and carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
To spend $53, she can't speak English, and end up taking everything out of a doggone trolley and putting it back on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to stand there and listen and watch that, and the supervisor didn't do nothing other than listen to a bunch of customers screaming and carrying on.
It wasn't any other...
Good day. Bad service in the Bahamas, gone then.
It wasn't any other lines open, Sparky? I mean, because... Okay, I would have moved to another line, because... It's likely that you could still catch the entertainment while you was on the other line. But I agree with you. For a country that calls itself a tourism nation, wants to be the leader in tourism globally, right? With a tourism policy that has opened up the entire island to tourists. They're all over the place, Airbnb and all over the place, walking through the bush all over the place. You would think that businesses would invest in arming their staff with a second language, right? So that they could better assist their customers. Now, everybody's going to assume that Sparky is talking about a woman who speaks Creole and doesn't speak English and held up the line. But that doesn't align with the rest of the rhetoric we like to juggle around about the Haitian population. Because if a lot of the cashiers are of Haitian descent, then man, they speak Creole. They could facilitate like-minded, language users. So I doubt it was someone who spoke Creole, because we get Creole speakers all over the place who could facilitate and move that through quickly. However, if there is a cashier or a cashier supervisor who doesn't know how to say, hey, you know what? We have a cashier who's fluent in Creole. We just need to move this customer to that place. That's it. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Man, listen, I have occasionally experienced when my voltage dropped from 125 volts. I go outside with my meter, and I check the line that's coming in from BPL,
mm-hmm.
and it does read 45 volts,
mm-hmm.
right? What indicates that to me is my uninterruptible power supply will trigger when the voltage drops.
Too low, yes.
So there seems to be it's unstable votes, because sometimes the 120 just read 110.
Mm-hmm.
It's not regulated. And
properly.
Let's say it probably is not regulated, because if it's 110 and then it's 120, I know when I went to the United States and I read steady voltage for like a month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway, mm-hmm. demand versus supply. Who you think is causing this large demand that BPL might not be being paid for and not aware of because they're not being paid for? Because I know if they have paying customers, they should know the demand that every paying customer requires.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are planning to manage that demand that they have, they might not be remembering that there are drop cords going to communities.
Yeah.
So which they are not factoring in. And I don't think that we should learn another language. I think they should learn English.
Hold on, Eric.
If you come into a food store, speak English. Because we don't have label on the packages in any other language than English.
What about the tourists, though? Because the tourists all over the place. I don't think it was a person that spoke Creole. Because there are too many Creole speakers around to facilitate them. I believe that's one of them Italian speakers. They look here, they're adventurous. They be on their little scooter.
I come in to bring you something special to eat if you keep this up. thanks, Eric.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, so we've got lots more to talk about. The Driving School Association was on this morning. I was so happy to see them because I saw a video this morning of an event, something happening in a parking lot, and it looked like a demolition derby. Somebody was either scared or angry and could not find the path out of the parking lot, and so they just drove their car through cars, and it looked like they were attempting to hit somebody, like a pedestrian, somebody on 2 feet, with their car. I'm not sure if y'all understand what a crisis is, because by the time it smacks you in the face, it's too late. I don't have very many superpowers. One of them is talking to raccoons. The other is pattern recognition. And we are heading down a road I can foresee. I'm not sure if the powers that be can see, even with all the lights they have on their vehicle. All right. So, since we're talking about vehicles, accessible bus donated to Stapledon School. This story was run by ZNS yesterday. Accessible bus donated to Stapledon School. Prime Minister the Honorable Philip Davis and Minister of Innovation and National Development the Honorable Sebastian Bastian donate a wheelchair accessible bus to the Stapledon School. That's the story. It's a video story, and that's the text that's attached to the story. PM Davis and Minister of Innovation and National Development, the Honorable Sebastian Bastian, donate a wheelchair accessible bus to the Stapledon School. I got so many questions. Before we get to the questions, let's say thank you the young people, the adults at the Stapledon School require resources for equitable participation in society. So we say thank you, but the question is, tell me exactly who donated this bus. The Prime Minister and the Minister of Innovation and National Development, was this a donation procured with proceeds from the Office of the Prime Minister and the Ministry of Innovation and National Development? Is there a tagline there somewhere? Are the Prime Minister and the Honorable Sebastian Bastian making a donation on behalf of the Ministry of Social Services? Where did they get the money from? Who exactly is making the donation? Is it the government that's making the donation? Is it the Office of the Prime Minister and the Ministry of Innovation and National Development? Because if they're private citizens making the donation, why do you have these honorifics in front of their name? If it's not coming from the ministry, why are you telling me the minister is making the donation? If it's not coming from the Office of the Prime Minister, why are you telling me the Prime Minister is making the donation? And then on another note, PLP MPs, Y'all know about this? Y'all know about this? Y'all know your boss and your boy was waking to get on a ride without y'all? Ain't no solidarity in the cabinet, in the party. What's happening? Y'all aware of this? I don't know. See, Cooper know about this. Cooper has created a number of mechanisms in Exuma with the partnership of the French Quebecois community, I think, French-Canadian community. Several years ago, the proceeds of one of their annual events, the Tour de Turquoise, they raised sufficient proceeds to purchase a school bus for Ellen Coakley High School. This is not a formal PPP. I've not seen this relationship defined as a formal PPP. Why would we be satisfied? Why would we be satisfied with guests to our country paying for basic and essential school resources for our students? Why would we be satisfied with that? I think we deserve to know who provided the money for this purchase and in what capacity. I think we deserve to know that. I'm just saying. Especially since nobody has spoken to the $25,000 that was removed from the budget of the Persons with Disabilities Commission to host a second memorial for Obie Wilchcombe at Bahama. I just think these are things that require answers. Okay, we're going to go to the text line. Folk all have a lot of monies, a lot. Maybe when you're talking monies, that got to be a lot, just inherent, is a text. Quote, when the grid catch heat overload, shed it like it's hot. Shed it like it's hot. Shed it like it's hot. BPL, probably. That's who the quote is like from. Text says, let Sparky call back to say what the woman was speaking. Erin, can you see what's going on with BPL? Electricity is off in Palmdale and East Bay Street, causing stress on the small business. Imagine the people who cannot afford to rent a brick and mortar space and are working from home. I don't know. Are business districts prioritized over residential service? Here's a text. These foreigners are out of control now, carrying on like they own the country. Speak English, because when they go to Miami, they speak English. I'm noticing a lot of products on the shelves. Okay, I could appreciate the point you make. Bahamians don't speak English. You know what is the most frustrating thing? I grew up in a British school system. All of us, we go to school in a British school system. All of us, except for a couple of these fancy private schools. And yet, we all come out of school, a lot of us come out of school, using American grammatical and language rules in a British system. And then act like we talk in sense. I just saying. However, the text goes on, I'm noticing a lot of products on the shelves have other languages, and all the new migrants speak Creole. This is a special hell we are now living in. This wave of fire isn't working for us. I'm going to treat that last sentence as like a separate text. So the text has said that a lot of products on the shelves have other languages. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Stick a pin text to let's go to the phone line. I'm going to respond to that. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Erin.
Hi.
Just wanted to check on your topic about the power situation. On Sunday, my power off from 1 p.m. until 5:30.
Mm-hmm. That's light stuff. I know it hurts, but that's light stuff right now. People dealing with 24 hours plus.
But my power bill is zero. They pay my power bill to zero. What service is it I'm getting? Who should I speak to? Should I get a refund?
Listen,
I don't have any money on my bill.
Mm-hmm. I tell the jokes here, not you, sir. We're not laughing at you or that situation. But this is not your access to electricity is not dependent on whether you pay the bill or not. in this town. Not anymore. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Alan Johnson.
Good morning, Aaron, Mr. Johnson.
Do you remember about 4.5 years, 5 years ago, I said that we'd have to wait on the next administration to fix BPL?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say it again. We have to wait on the next administration to fix BPL. You have to, first of all, right, and this is the problem we have.
Okay, so hold on, but see, Alan, I have to say this, right?
Yeah.
I would, you see, I chuckled, right? But this is a FNM problem, too. Can,
no,
hold on, I know, hold on, can...
I didn't say who the administration has to be.
I know, so I'm framing it out. I'm framing it out, right? Can the FNM prepare itself for an administration where it structures itself and prepares itself and builds the will? So not just the capacity, but the will to deal with this situation, the fire under the Minister administration, then the statement that the public will not see the report because somebody done leak it. So,
but let me, I have a stronger one,
mm-hmm.
because we can't afford 5 more years. Let me explain what I said. The FNM will, and I would advocate for this, will have to move from waiting to be government to actual government and waiting. And what I mean by that is actually demanding, first of all, a complete assessment of exactly where we are, because you cannot manage what you cannot measure.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't measure what you don't acknowledge, so you put it in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
Because we often have people saying we're making progress, but you have nothing to gauge it by because you don't know where you're standing from or the expectation of where you should be going.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same capacity that we talk about BPL, everything for the 21st century relies on BPL, the cost of living, food, everything,
mm-hmm.
right? This whole innovation,
healthcare,
and development. So what happens then is that we should know exactly where, beginning with energy, where it is, exactly the state of BPL, the exact amount, who we owe, why we owe, the legacy bill, the structure for putting in the energy reduction regime, the energy production regime, and the energy delivery regime, so that we can know exactly where we are, where we're going to be, and the expectation. Because we're signing PPPs that locks us in for 25 years at the same rate, while at the same time screaming rate reduction.
Listen, and on that note, Cialan, I got to transition and go. On that note, I wish I had enough money to go to court on that. I don't know. I don't know if the, remember when the Prime Minister said, oh, y'all in the media, you're incompetent because you didn't know all of the bills have been tabled. And then Joe Beth Colby said, yeah, one hasn't been tabled. The Prime Minister didn't know that. I want to know, is that the BG, the Bahamas Grid Company, Bahamas Grid Solutions Island Grid Company contract? Is that the one, right?
Multiples. The ones. Put ones on there, any plural.
All right. I only go in by what she said, right? That there was one. But if there were more than one, was the 25-year Island Grid Company 60%, BPL 40% contract, is that the contract that was not signed when the Prime Minister made that statement? Because if it hadn't been signed, then technically they're telling the truth. But when we read the Tribune, I think it's a Tribune article that shares statements made in an internal stakeholder meeting that suggests that this was never the case. It was never envisioned that Island Grid would be 60% holder for 25 years, right?
Well, let me go and say this. You could continue. I say it was never envisioned for behemoths that they'd be in the same position they are today that they were 10 years ago.
It had to have been envisioned, C. Allen. It had to. Let me tell you why. Because I've been raising the alarm on this matter for years. In fact, I even tell you all the story about how I just doing my Saturday job selling goods at the porch. This family would come through every week. Beautiful family, wife and husband and daughter, and typically the husband and daughter to us. And I would talk to the young lady about preparing herself culturally, right? Like to understand where she's living and the infrastructural challenges, you know, she'll experience with the shift from the developed world to a developing world. And I would talk about BPL every time I saw them. And it turns out I was talking to the husband of Miss Alston. A-L-S-T-O-N. Right? The whole time, didn't know. I've been talking about this for years and years and years and years and years and years. Ulster, meet me on the corner of CI 1622 Avenue and Frank Watson Boulevard. We'll talk about it some more right after this break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Boy, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what's happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Boy, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Boy, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I'm going straight to a text and then we're changing subjects. The text says, no matter what country illegals and foreigners come from, when they hit American soil, they start speaking English. And just like that, when they come to the Bahamas, they need to speak the Queen's English as best as possible. I am Bahamian. I came out of my mother's womb speaking perfect English because all of my family speaks perfect English. And it baffles me how people who can't speak a lick of English have Bahamian documents legally. You learn to speak in the uterus before you're born. Scientific fact. It baffles me that the Deputy Director of Education, the then, would get up or in Putin's good green earth and say we would have went on a walkabout and we would have found 12 students, and it turned out they went on that walkabout and they did find 12 students. It baffles me, sir, where I was physically prompted to learn to speak the Queen's English properly. That's why it baffles me that Bahamians who were trained in a British system will get up in a British system and bastardize the British English with American colloquialisms, right? But also, yeah. Okay, He came out the womb speaking perfect English. This is what I want to talk about before I get back to the text. Oh, also text the text back, because you raised something very valuable, and I appreciate that greatly. There's this article in the Tribune. We're going to read this with caution. There's a particular point I want to make. Security officer fired after searching PM's bag. An airport security officer was fired after reportedly searching Prime Minister Brave Davis's bag during a pre-election stop in Bimini, raising questions about whether airport security protocols were enforced too aggressively or whether political status shielded a dignitary from routine scrutiny. Full stop. I don't know if we're even going to get past the first paragraph, because everything is right there. Let me show you an example about how political culture will seep into governance and destroy it, taint it, and make it frowsy. Let's read this again. Raising questions about whether airport security protocols were enforced too aggressively. There's no such thing as enforcing airport security protocols too aggressively. Either there was a breach in the enforcement or there was a lapse in the enforcement. You cannot enforce them too aggressively. If that's what the protocol is, that's what the protocol is, right? Or whether political status shielded a dignitary from routine scrutiny. I think we're missing the point. This is the prime minister who we all supposed to be keeping safe. That's our job. And it turns out that's actually her profession. That's what she was hired to do. What if somebody had slipped something dangerous into the PM's bag, understanding that it's unlikely that the PM's bag would be searched, because, ooh, we don't search prime ministers. There's a reason for the protocol. And the protocol is to keep everybody safe, because you do not know what tool or mechanism or opportunity that the bad guy will use to wreak havoc. Is it that the political culture is now so unaware of itself and has consumed everything, that now it's consuming common sense? You cannot enforce the protocols too aggressively. Either you follow them or you breach them, or you don't follow them at all. To the question of the firing, that's a conversation for another time. I just wanted to question the language used here, because it manifests something that is happening and is extremely problematic. See, when it comes to the traffic rules, I could envision the police officer driving the magistrate, the justice himself, right? The cabinet minister, the senator in their car saying to themselves, my job is so important that I can breach the law. But when the law pertains to policing you, you don't have the authority to determine, you don't have to follow it. I mean, you didn't have the authority in the first instance either, you know. That's just a construction in your mind. But nobody considered that the young lady was doing her job, because that's the job that has to be done. Every bag in the PM's entourage should be searched to ensure the safety of the PM and the other officers of the state. Come on, man. Y'all don't see Trump tighten up everything? We can't even run away now from this foolishness. Is this the progress that we chose? What you mean in the era of Homeland Security and taking off? I know they say you don't have to take off your shoes no more. But in the era of taking off your shoes and searching everything and I went on a trip from Nassau to Canada, and the next day is going back to Connecticut. I got searched 4 times. What you mean? It appears the young lady was fired for breaching something, because she... I want to read an excerpt from the article right here. It says, Ms. Simonette said she personally uses discretion when dealing with dignitaries and often advises junior staff to let supervisors handle such situations because, quote, we live in a politicized country. Quote, for me, I would not have engaged, close quote, she said, quote, I would not have searched the prime minister's bag because he is a dignitary and I would not have bothered with his entourage. However, she did, in fact, and so everybody know within the airport authority environment, when those persons come to the airport, yes, you do a search, but you also use your discretion to ensure that your conversation is limited. So is the problem that she spoke to him? Is that what the problem is? Or that when they cut her eye at her, she didn't read the visual cues that were to indicate to her that she should just ignore all of her training and all of the protocols and everything she was taught to do and just let whatever happen, happen? That's what was supposed to happen? Is this the progress that we have chosen? Like I said, to the firing is another question. I am looking at how are we thinking about this space? What you mean you prioritize dignitaries' comfort over following protocol in a high security area and space? Anyway, that's the thing I definitely wanted to talk about this morning. Then I said I wanted to get back to the text, and I did a bad thing, so we're just going to run through the text line now. Yes, Lady Green, where are the donations coming from? The Bahamian people need to know ASAP. We are concerned on Grand Bahama and the Family Islands who have the same concerns. Speak up, Bahamas, now. Selah, 2026. Why would government ministers be making a charitable donation when they sit in cabinet with other ministers who are responsible for creating structural reform in the same space? Here's another text. Good morning, Aaron. If I was Chester, he should be seeing that PM Chan slipping away. He sees who the PM grooming. Aha, he better join the boycott against him being a PM. Can you direct me to a better price in 70s? Oh, on behalf of the disabled people stapled in school, we thank Mr. Bastian and Prime Minister. One request, can we have air conditions in all the public school classrooms, please? Can you direct me to a better price in 70 cents cheaper for the chill time soursop? Oh, they sell it. Oh, I could be honest with you, right? I would say that my sorbet products are very competitive in this market, but I can't tell you that everybody else's local produce, right? Like local fruit, value-added products are competitive in this market. But you, I don't know. We got a little fruit mafia going on in this country. Everything is just a plantation waiting to be controlled by somebody. Good morning, Aaron in Bahamas. Aaron, I will continue to lament about the loud music inside the cruise port. It is annoying and it must be contained within the port. And it's problematic. As a vendor, it's extremely difficult to sell in and engage tourists in that type of environment. Morning, Aaron. I would like for the opposition to hold the government foot to the fire. I need them to stick on Sabas and Miss Bryce. They fix... the texter believes that that the accommodation was made for Mr. Bastian and that Miss Bryce is just a benefactor of the Prime Minister's benevolence. Pike cut and run from day one, too. Now they're trying to tell us Pike was never expected to stay for 25 years. Unfortunately, I found the following on the government's own website with a nice pic of the PM. Quote, the government has announced that it has entered a 25-year partnership with Pike through its Bahamas management company, Island Grid, to be September 2024. Nobody's going to razzle-dazzle me in my memory. No, we all remember it. We all remember it. The Guardian has posted on it. We all remember it. That's why I continue to ask. Prime Minister suggested that everybody in the media is stupid or incompetent if they didn't know that all of the contracts were tabled or all were available to be accessed by the public because they all were in the house already. And then the next day, Joe Beth Colby was on the radio saying, well, it turns out that we may have inadvertently misled the prime minister by not making available to him the fact that we were not quite finished with all. I thought that Joe Beth Colby indicated there was only one left, and I'm still questioning whether that is this one. Because then technically they would not be telling a lie except for the part where the prime minister suggested that everybody was incompetent and stupid in the media. Here's another text. Aaron, I know plenty great lawyers. That person will be very rich and will never have to work again. Here we go. So we could search the king's bag too. LOL, get real. You get real. You get real. But more importantly, maybe I should get to a real country, as opposed to this plantation y'all insisted we live on. See, in another country, what they call them, the Secret Service, would ensure that everything is safe. But then even in that country, we've had countless stories of the ineptitude of the Secret Service, right? Like we have had countless stories of the ineptitude of similar facilities in our own country. The point being, it is an airport, and it is a security protocol, and with no other protocol having been established formally. See, because I imagine that if there were a protocol for the prime minister and dignitaries, that protocol would have been shared with those responsible for operating it. Right? So given that there was no other protocol established, you see what I'm saying about a jokey country? Surely some protocol officer would have come to the media already sharing with us what the established protocol for security measures for a traveling prime minister is in his own jurisdiction. I was disappointed watching Eyewitness News beyond the headlines. Leslie Miller, who was given a second, third, and fourth chance when he messed it up, agreeing that the security officer needs to find a new job, and she was wrong. Isn't this the same prime minister who believe in empowering behemoths, and he should forgive her and give her a second chance? Okay, the text is saying, man, so we ain't praying that she get the same grace. Leslie Miller, you ain't praying she get the same grace you get? You the only one who could afford grace? And I don't even think grace is warranted in this matter. I think we have a serious security protocol thing. We need to hear from the Minister of National Security. What is the protocol? Because one should have been established. We are all out of time. We didn't even get to talk about the people them talking about cannabis or the start of the hurricane season. We shall be back tomorrow. But until then, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.